Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
FS DJ Nation, we are back. Had a little hiatus last week. Maddie had a little wedding to go to where he went on a 5-day bender. we are back for this glorious week 18 slate that we have ahead of us. Should be a lot of fun. We already have, I will say, at least the positive is that we're not like going into the weekend like still wondering who's going to play, who's not. A lot of these teams have done a pretty good job of already saying, nah, we're not doing it. So, I mean, as of right now, the Ravens are pretty much going to be sitting all of their guys, the Rams, the 49ers, the Chiefs, the Browns. All these teams are going to be sitting their starters, so we don't have to worry about that. That is a possibility. And we have some healthy totals here this week with the Cardinals and Seahawks game at 47.5 total, the Cowboys game at 46, the Lions at 45.5. You have the Packers, Saints at 44 and 43.5, and then you have the Eagles and Giants game at 42. You have some other games that has a little bit of meaning behind it, but I think for the most part, these are kind of the best games to look at for this week. But overall, like when I look at this weekend slate, like I think there's some fun spots, right? Like, but we say it all the time, kind of like with week one, like do not go crazy. Do not go and just play your entire bankroll like you would on a normal main slate or something like that, because there is going to be a lot of craziness with this slate. We're going to get probably a lot of really cheap running backs. It looks like we could possibly see like Jordan Mason and Pierre Strong be the starting running backs for both 4K. So it's kind of weird because there's not a lot of payoff options either on this slate. Now, Christian McCaffrey's not playing, Kyren Williams isn't playing. So that means the highest priced running back is 7,600. Wide receiver, you know, CD Lamb and AJ Brown, I think, are two guys that you could probably look at as obviously both having still something to play for. Both these teams need to, you know, win to win the division. If Dallas wins, they take the division, the 2 seed. If Dallas were to lose and the Eagles were to win, they would take the 2 seed and the division. But if they both lost, then that's how Detroit could slide in, and Detroit could still get the 2 seed. So there's still a little bit of motivation for the Lions, but I don't know. Overall, I think this is going to be kind of a fun slate to kind of parse through. But again, save some of that money for next week when we get to the fantasy playoffs or the NFL playoffs, whatever. That's, things are a little bit better when every team has something to play for. So with that being said, Maddie, let's just dive into the slate. Like I already said, no Patrick Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, no Brock Purdy, no Joe Flacco, no Matthew Stafford this week. So what are you looking to do at quarterback?
Yeah, when I first saw Adam Schefter's tweet on all the quarterbacks that are playing this week, I wasn't sure if I was still drunk or if that was real. But yet, here we are. So there's four guys that I have interest in this week. I'm not going dumpster diving on the cheap guys. I mean, the one cheap guy that you could definitely sell me on, assuming he plays because he was limited in practice today, would be Tyrod Taylor. He did really well last week against the Rams and now gets an even better matchup at home against Philly. He's only 5,300. He threw 41 passes last week, and I would expect more of the same this week as well. So he would be the cheap guy that I would play. And if I'm not playing Tyrod, I'm paying up for one of these higher priced QBs, and that's Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, and Justin Fields. I mean, Hurts, you just mentioned it, you know, all these must-win teams, Philly and Dallas are both, you know, vying for the division and the number 2 seed. So both those teams are going to play to win because both of them have very winnable matchups and, they'll just be hoping for the other team to lose. So both Hurts and Dak should smash again this week with what we're accustomed to. And then Justin Fields gets his final, I guess, show for him being the franchise QB there in Chicago. And it's a divisional matchup in Green Bay. And we know Green Bay's run defense has been abysmal all year long. And this is a really good spot for Fields to go over 100 yards on the ground. And DJ Moore is also motivated considering he got a Pro Bowl snub. I saw he put a picture on Twitter of the Joker. So, you know, Fields to DJ Moore this week could be the tournament stack. So those three guys. And then I don't even hate Jordan Love on the other side of that game. He's been really good the second half of the season. And Chicago's been a pass funnel defense all year long. So those are really the five main quarterbacks that I'm focused on. I'm not going to go crazy with any of these other guys. Like, I'm not playing Carson Wentz. I'm not playing, you know, Stidham. I'm not playing Easton Stick.
Sam Darnold.
I'm good on Sam Darnold as well. Unless they were to say, you know, Ayuk's going to play and Debo's going to play. If he's like throwing to Juwan Jennings and what is it? Ronnie Bell and these other guys, like Ray McLeod, like I'm just good on that. I'll play these guys like Dak and Fields and even Tyrod that have better weapons around them. Cause I mean, at least Tyrod has Waller back and Slayton has housed, you know, a 70 yard touchdown in both of his last two games. You know, Wandale is fine in the slot. Like, there's actually ways that Tyrod can put up points, and the Philly defense has just been bad this year in all facets. So I don't even hate Saquon this week either. So I think that the Philly Giants game is a really interesting one. I'm especially liking that game so much. I mean, I can just see Hurts just nuking him and AJ Brown. So it is an interesting slate. My QB is definitely going to come from one of that group that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on paying up for the top guys, you know, Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott, especially, you know, that matchup against the Commanders. Obviously, it's a matchup that we've pretty much been targeting for most of the year with quarterbacks, with wide receivers. So, yeah, I mean, Dak, it certainly makes a lot of sense. Jalen Hurts, this offense needs to figure something out to get right. They have looked pretty bad. I mean, this is a Giants team that has struggled at times against the pass as well. We don't know if Devonta Smith is going to play. If he didn't play, then that just makes A.J. Brown just a smash play here for the Eagles. But in terms of kind of the off-the-board guys, I think Kyler Murray just continues to get overlooked every single week. He's $6,400, and Kyler Murray has played pretty well this year since he's come back. And he's a player that has, you know, he gets you 5 to 7, you know, kind of carries every single game. If you look, since he's been returned since week 10, he's received 6, 7, 1 in week 12, but then 9, 6, 5, 5 in terms of rush attempts there. And so he continues to get work there. I mean, they put on a clinic last week against the Eagles, but that's kind of what we target. But he threw 3 touchdowns in that game. He has put up 20 DK points or more in 2 straight weeks as well. He's still pretty cheap at $6,400. It's a player in years past you would have paid in the 7K range for at a matchup at home against Seattle. Seattle obviously has something to play for. You know, this Cardinals team is going to play spoiler here. And so $6,400 Kyler Murray, I do like him quite a bit. And then if you're wanting to pay down, I actually think Nick Mullins does make some sense here at $5,100. We've seen some ceiling for him, you know, prior to last week, whenever, you know, the Vikings just completely sold the game by starting Jaren Hall for whatever dumb reason. I could totally have understood if they had nothing to play for. But, like, that was the dumbest decision I've ever seen. And I actually think, Kevin O'Connell is actually a decent coach. And I don't know what the hell he was thinking with that move. But, you know, because previously to those two games, now I get it that Nick Mullins turns the ball over a lot. I mean, he had six turnovers the previous two games. But what world you thought starting Jaren Hall was going to work out, I don't know. But, regardless, he did throw for 22.12 and 20, almost 24, and 2 weeks ago whenever they played this same matchup against Detroit at home. He threw for 400 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game. So I do think Nick Mullins at $5,100. This Lions defense has been absolutely dreadful. Over their last 4 games, they've allowed 300. They're averaging allowing 300 yards per game and 6 touchdowns over the last 4 games. So this is a very good spot, I think, to target with a quarterback, and he's super cheap. I think he'd make an easy stack with Justin Jefferson, who is going to play in this game. The Vikings technically still have something to play for. They need a lot to happen for them to make the playoffs. They have like a 4% chance to make the playoffs. I think with a win, it goes up to 9%. I know they need, I believe they need the Saints to lose. They need the, who else was it? I think it's the Packers to lose. They need the Seahawks to lose. Like, they need a lot to go their way for them to make the playoffs, but they still technically have something to play for. So I do think Nick Mullins, if you want to go somewhere, and like I said, this is a team that throws the ball a lot, and You know, and this is a game where technically the Lions still have something to play for. So I do think you can see the Lions really push the pace here. It is in a dome game, so you don't have to worry about any weather. So I do think Nick Mullins, like I said, is somebody that I'm going to have some interest in that game. Other than that, you know, I definitely agree with you with Tyrod. Sounds like he should be okay to play. He was limited practice with a back injury, but he balled out last week with really could have been 400 passing yards or 319 passing yards, one touchdown. He almost had six carries for 40 yards in that game last week, where he was $4,600. He's still only $5,300 this week. So I do agree with that call as well. The Jordan Love call, it makes me a little nervous. Like, he's gotten there a lot on touchdown volume. Like, he has run extremely hot in touchdowns this year. That's really where a lot of his numbers have come from. You have to go all the way back to week 11, the last time he threw for over 300 yards, for him to hit that 300-yard bonus, and it's the only time he's done so all year. So he hasn't been someone that's getting a lot of 300-yard games. It's just he has so many games with multi-touchdown efforts. He's not really doing anything on the ground either. This is not something they really ask him to do. Only has one game all year where he has over five rush attempts, and so that's not something he's really going to do a lot of. It's hard to deny he scored 28 and 23 the last couple of weeks. It does sound like there's a chance that Christian Watson could return. Jayden Reed should be okay to play in this game as well. He got back. He's been in a limited practice in both Wednesday and Thursday, so that is very positive news for him as well. So Jayden Reed is somebody that could play this week. But like I said, Christian Watson, you know, he got in a limited practice. We'll have to see if he's able to play. But if they may be full strength here with all their weapons. But the Chicago defense has been pretty good. Like, they're not as much of a pass funnel. Over their last four games, they've only allowed 237.5 passing yards per game. That is 15th in the league. So it's not as bad. Obviously, they've been much better against the run. But overall, I just think that I'm not as excited to play that, just because I feel like he has to get there with touchdowns to make that work. But still, this is obviously a must-win game for the Packers. The Packers win, they're in. So, but you definitely expect the Bears are going to come out and put up everything they can to try to stop that. But so overall, I think you're right. I think I'm going to pay up at quarterback. I definitely like the Justin Fields call. He has been really good this year, but I think it's either I'm either going to play, if I'm going to pay down, I'm going to play Kyler Murray. And then I would look at Nick Mullins that I talked about. I think those would be the two guys that I think you could look at playing at quarterback. Is there anybody else that you want to hit on?
No, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, because like you said, I'm not really all that enthused of playing Carson Wentz of their weapons. I know it sounds like with like Wentz, it sounds like there's a shot that Puka Nacua will play. He has a couple records he needs to, you know, he could hit.
They're just going to get him those and then sit him though, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it's only like 30 yards for the
four catches.
Record. Yeah. So
he's he's a lock for 7 points and then he's going to sit.
Yeah, but I mean, Carson Wentz is $4,500, but Carson Wentz was bad before that.
And same with Darnold. Like, unless we got word that Ayuk was going to play the full game and Debo and Kittle and those guys, I'm out on Darnold as well.
Yeah, I don't see any scenario, especially Debo Samuel, that would play. But I don't think any of those guys play.
I agree.
All right, let's go over the running backs. And this is where things get interesting. So like I already said, Christian McCaffrey and Kyron Williams are both you know, are not going to play. Also, or Alvin Kamara is, he didn't practice again today. He hasn't practiced with an ankle injury. So there's a possibility that he doesn't play in this game. Now, this is a must-win game for New Orleans. They have to win this game. Isaiah Pacheco, it doesn't sound like he's going to play here. Josh Jacobs, they said he's a game-time decision. He's not playing. They have nothing else to play for. Why in the hell would they run him out here for the last game of the year? He's missed the last three, which opens the door for Zamir White. Now, Zamir White has been fantastic. He is 6K here. And then, you know, there's some other situations you have to monitor, like San Francisco. You know, we might be seeing Jordan Mason, who is 4K, be the starting running back here with Elijah Mitchell questionable again, you know, with all the injuries he's dealt with. And then the Browns likely won't play Kareem Hunt or Jerome Ford. So that would open the door for Pierre Strong, who is also 4K. So we could be getting a lot of really cheap running back plays this week. But what are you looking to do at running back?
Yeah, I'm playing as many cheap guys as the slate allows. If we get any of these min price starters, I'm just going to play them. I do like Zamir White at 6K. same breath as James Conner. Conner's been balling out three of the last 4 weeks. And it's good matchup for him against Seattle as well. And then also the one situation you didn't mention to monitor would be the Chiefs. I would be shocked if Pacheco plays, given that he's nursing an injury and they're not going to have the one seed. If he were to be out, that either leave CEH or Prince. And, you know, if CEH were to miss, Prince is also down there, very cheap as well. So I think we're going to get a couple of these guys, and they're all absolutely in play. But I do also like the 6K guys as well. I don't know that I'm going to play Tony Pollard. I get it. He's in a really good spot. Washington has been abysmal ever since trading Chase Young and Montez Sweat. You know, they've been just bad at defending the run, and they've been bad defending the pass the entire season. So I expect Dallas to crush in that game. And I just there's a lot of running backs to like this week, especially if we get the freebies down low. But yeah, if we were to not get any freebies, it would be Zamir White and James Conner would probably be my two favorites, in the 6K range. But outside of them, those two guys, it's the men price guys for me.
Yeah. You mentioned James Conner. He was somebody that I was definitely going to hit on. He has scored 20 DK points or more in three of his last four games.
Yeah.
And Seattle has been terrible against the run. They've allowed a 5.18 yards per carry, which is the fourth highest rate in the league. They also have allowed 8 touchdowns, which is the most over the last 4 games. Their stuff rate is the 4th lowest, as well as their 2.1 yards before contact, which is the 6th highest rate in the league as well. So Seattle's been really bad against the run. James Conner sets up to be a phenomenal play. Had quite a bit of him last week as well against the Eagles, because the Eagles have also been dreadful against the run as well.
Yeah, and Saquon's a good play as well. I forgot to mention him. I mentioned him when I talked about Tyrod, but Saquon, because of what you're about to say.
Yes, so the Eagles have been almost just as bad. They're allowing 141.3 rushing yards per game over their last 4. They are also bottom 5 in stuff rate as well. So, I mean, this is a defense that is just completely cratered all around. Like, it's not – earlier in the year, it was, their run defense was really good, but they really struggled to stop the pass. Now it's just – they can't stop anything. This defense has just been absolutely dreadful against the run. So – I do think that, you know, if you want to play Saquon, who is cheaper, he's $6,900. He's still kind of the bell cow within the offense. You know, last week wasn't as much because of the script, but he's still somebody that's going to see a pretty solid target share on a week-to-week basis. In terms of the pay-up options, I think you have to like Rashad White. He's $7,600. I mean, on most weeks you would say, okay, I can pay up for Kyren Williams. Why would I play Rashad White? But without those two guys now, I mean, Rashad White against Carolina. Carolina still, you know, really struggles to stop opposing running backs, especially on the ground. They have allowed 5 rushing touchdowns over their last 4 games, and they still allow about 116.5 over that same span. I will say their stuff rate is much better. It's one of the best in the league. It is actually top 4 in the league in terms of stuff rate, but everything else isn't really great. Yards after contact, they really struggle with. They have the 3rd highest yards after contact per attempt. So that is something to mention as well. But I still think Rashad White, in a game that if they win, they can get into the playoffs at $7,600. We know he has one of the most secure roles in the league, involved in the passing game, involved on the ground. So I think Rashad White in a matchup that they should be able to control against the Carolina Panthers, I think he is somebody that is well within play. I would say Breece Hall, but I can't. The only thing that really stands out with him is his just elite passing game usage. He has 21 receptions over his last 2 games, and even more so, even over his last 5 games, he has 6 catches, 8 catches, 1, 12, and 9. He has been absolutely peppered in the passing game, but this isn't a great matchup against the Patriots. The Patriots have been really good against opposing running backs this year. They have been almost elite against that position. So I don't think you really need to get there with him. In terms of the other ones, like I said, Tony Pollard makes no sense to me. Tony Pollard, as much as I love that dude, I think Tony Pollard is a baller, you know, heading into this year. But this he has just been dreadful for the most part. Over his last 3 games, he hasn't even crested more than 8 DK points. He just hasn't been able to get there. They've been perfectly okay with airing it out. He doesn't really see a lot of targets. I mean, you had the week 14 game where he did see 7 catches and 8 on 8 targets. But for the most part this year, it's very few and far between. It's been 3, 1, and 3 over his last 3. And if he's going to be heavy chalk, like I'm not doing it. Like, the guy just hasn't been able to get there. And once they get down to the goal line, they don't seem to really give him any opportunities down there. They will throw the ball, or they'll give it to their fullback, or they'll bring in Rico Dowdle. Whatever the case, it's not Tony Pollard. So I just can't play extremely chalky Tony Pollard. I would get it if he was going to be cheaper, but if I can pay down for James Conner or Zamir White, who get the same role, get monster workloads, involved in the passing game, who are $500 cheaper. Just give me that. I think that's just the safer route. So I don't like that play at all. I'm not a fan. I think Kenneth Walker is also another aspect you could look at here. He is questionable, but that's kind of been his role the last couple of weeks, where he's been limited in practice. But also another really good matchup. Arizona has really struggled to stop opposing running backs as well. They allow 161.7 rushing yards per game with a 5.51 yards per carry average, which is the highest rate in the league. So they have really struggled. They have the lowest stuff rate in the league, one of the highest yards after contact per attempt, and their yards before contact is number one in the league with 2.48. So this is another matchup you could look at with Kenneth Walker. Now, the only thing frustrating with him sometimes is the involvement of Zach Charbonnet, who tends to blend in. So you could look there, but that being a little worrisome. But other than that, if Joe Mixon didn't play, Chase Brown would become an excellent play at $4,600 against a Cleveland team that's going to be sitting a lot of their starters. So that's not going to be the same defense that you would typically run into. And then, like you already mentioned, you have the really cheap guys at 4K that could possibly play Pierre Strong. And I just don't think the 49ers play Elijah Mitchell. He's been dealing with a lot of injuries himself, which is wild because he barely plays. But I don't think they put him out there. I think you see Jordan Mason, who has in limited time been explosive. So I think those are the two guys, the two real pay down options. You mentioned the Chiefs. I don't think it would be Prince. I think it would actually be LaMichael Perine, because it's been him and Keontae Ingram have been the two running backs they've been bringing up when they've had guys miss. And so I don't think it would be Prince. I think it would be probably Perine getting most of the work. He is much more of a kind of a three-down back, or has the potential to be. So I think it would be LaMichael Perine would be the guy if Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco's not playing. I'm not even worried about that. But the injuries he's dealt with and everything else, there's no reason for them to have him out there whatsoever. So he won't play. I think it's possible they could run CEH out there to kind of get one more opportunity to get some tape out there, because he's going to be a free agent after this year. But if they don't want to, because, you know, with Jerick McKinnon on IR, do they, you know, really want to mess with that? I could see him sitting. And then I think LaMichael Perine would probably be the guy that you would look at here with the Chiefs. So that being said, I don't really have anything else to bring in terms of the running backs. I think you could look at Jahmyr Gibbs. He continues to play really well as well. I didn't mention him, but I know it was terrible last week against Dallas. But other than that, I mean, he has been a baller prior to that. So I think this, especially if this could be some sort of a shootout, which it has some sort of potential to be, especially as much as Nick Mullins turns the ball over, I think then you could look at somebody like Isaiah Pacheco or Dave Montgomery as options as well.
You mean Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know who I said, but Jahmyr Gibbs and Dave Montgomery. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. If you're playing Mullins, I think you need you would want to play a line on the other side for sure. And I think Gibbs makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. So, all right. You have anybody else you want to hit on?
No, let's go to receiver. Let's keep it moving.
All right. So obviously I think this is going to where everybody's going to want to pay up, because you have CeeDee Lamb and AJ Brown. Both are in elite spots. If you're going to have all these running backs and everything that are going to be super cheap, it's going to make it very, very easy to plug in a CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown if you wanted to. Both of those guys are in elite spots. I think both of them, especially if like Devontae Smith doesn't play, that really limits what else we're looking at here. I highly, highly doubt Devontae Smith plays here with the injury he suffered last week. He hasn't practiced at all this week. You know, it's not a meaningless game, because obviously if Dallas were to lose, but Dallas is also 14-point favorites against the Commanders, right? And so I think it would be a pretty big letdown spot. Now, it is on the road, I believe, in Washington. And now this Dallas team has not played nearly as well on the road as they do at home. So there's some level of a possibility here. And if Jacoby Brissett were to play, then I think that you could really see a scenario where it's possible. So that's why Philadelphia has to play their starters, because they could still get the 2 seed. But overall, I think both of these guys are in elite spots this week. CeeDee Lamb and A.J. Brown, both of these guys can go absolutely nuclear and crush this slate. And then the other pay-up options are Amon-Ra Brown, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp's not going to play, Davante Adams, Puka Nacua is going to play, but it'll be very limited. I don't think Amari Cooper, Deebo Samuel, Keenan Allen, I don't think any of those guys play, but Mike Evans at $7,400 is in play, Jamar Chase, DK Metcalf. I do not think Brandon Ayuk is going to play. And then you have DJ Moore, Rashee Rice. We'll have to talk about him, but it's possible he could play because he needs like 60 yards for him to break, or not break, but pass 1,000 receiving yards. It's possible. Andy Reid spoke this week and said, we'll see about possibly getting some of these guys their records, or not their records, but you know, these milestones for these guys. Travis Kelce is 16 yards away from another 1,000-yard season, so I think it's possible you see him. But Rashee Rice needs like 60-plus yards to get there, but he is $6,800. And then you have Chris Olave, Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, Chris Godwin, T. Higgins, DeAndre Hopkins, and Adam Thielen are all in the 6K and above range. So who here at wide receiver are you looking to plug in?
I'm not paying up for anybody that has any uncertainty around them, like Rashee Rice. So I'm paying up for guys that I know are locked into high-volume roles. And for me, it's those four guys at the top. CeeDee Lamb at Washington. We know he's a lock for 10 targets, could see up to anywhere up to 15 to 17. AJ Brown, who hasn't shown a ceiling since week 8, but we know the ceiling is there. And the Giants play a lot of, they blitz a lot, play a lot of man coverage. So it definitely is a spot where Brown could smash. Amon-Ra just smashed in the same matchup 2 weeks ago. He's scored over 30 DK points, had 12 targets. You attack Minnesota in the slot. This is a really good spot at home for Amon-Ra to continue rolling. And then on the same side of that, or the same, the other side of that game, same game, Justin Jefferson, $8,500 on the road at Detroit. You already mentioned that Mullins is in a good spot facing a really bad Detroit pass D. And this is a good spot for Justin Jefferson as well. So all four of those guys are absolutely in play. I will probably prioritize two of them given the value that we're going to have. You can definitely make at least two of those guys work. And then just slightly below them is DJ Moore at 7K, who, if you're playing Justin Fields, I think you just click DJ Moore as well. The Green Bay defense hasn't been, you know, great against the pass, and this is definitely a really good spot that DJ Moore can smash here. And already mentioned that, you know, he was a Pro Bowl snub and tweeted out a picture of the Joker, and you know, he's not happy about that, and he's had a monster season with Fields. His several games over 30 DK points, so 7K for him is definitely a fair price.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And from there, it's going to be Jaden Reed if he plays. He's 5,700 against in that same game on the other side. He's been a touchdown machine. Terry McLaurin, if Jacoby Brissett is the starter, Brissett unlocked Terry McLaurin's ceiling in very limited playing time, and he just locked onto him from a target perspective. So really like him as well if Brissett were to start there. Cooks is obviously in play if you're playing Dak at 5,200. Sliding down all the way to now we get to the cheap guys. You know, we talked about the Rams are going to sit their guys. So you have like guys like Tutu Atwell is 3,300, who's definitely in play. And we've actually seen a ceiling from Tutu, this year. He's scored, 20 DK points and had a couple games above 15 as well. So I think Tutu would probably be my favorite Rams receiver. And, you know, we know Carson Wentz is a chuck the ball down the field kind of guy and isn't afraid to turn it over. So, I like the 2-2 play with Wentz at the helm there. We mentioned Tyrod's in a good spot. So Slayton, who's caught a 70 plus yard touchdown in back-to-back games, is in another good spot here at 4K. So there are some good cheap receivers to like, this week to go with those high price studs and those cheaper running backs that we have. But for the most part, I think what's going to be the popular build and what I think is the most responsible build is to play as many cheap running backs as we get and then load up on these CeeDee Lambs and AJ Browns and Amon-Ra and Justin Jefferson and DJ Moore, as many of those guys as you can fit.
Yeah. And I think when the wide receivers, I mean, I think there's some other, you know, cheaper options. I think obviously the Jaguars, which is one we haven't really talked about, but the Jaguars defense is extremely, or not their defense, but the Titans defense is extremely banged up. They're missing a ton of pieces. They're not playing for anything, but obviously the Jaguars are. They're trying to still win this division. It's even possible the Jaguars could even get kicked out of the playoffs, so they have to win this game. We haven't really talked about them, but you have Christian Kirk, who is 3K, who was designated to return. Now, I don't know if he plays this week or not. Obviously, it's a must-win game for them, but you have to feel like with them, they still have enough pieces that they should be able to beat the Titans without him. Because it doesn't sound like Will Levis is going to play. It could actually be Malik Willis who starts. We'll see on that, because really, what else do you have to see from Ryan Tannehill? But, you know, even not without him, but Zay Jones is also only $3,700 or $3,800. It sounds like he has a much better shot at playing this week than Christian Kirk does. But if Kirk does play at 3K, it's going to be pretty hard to get away from that. And he is going to probably be mega chalk if that were to be the case, but we'll have to monitor that situation. But it does sound like there's a much better shot that Zay Jones does play. And if Kirk doesn't, I mean, there's a pretty good shot here that Kirk or that Zay Jones sees a pretty healthy target share within that offense. And so I do think if, you know, he's another pay down option that you could look at. There's going to be quite a few of these like really cheap guys. I think for the Chiefs side, there's been a lot of talk about Justin Ross, that they're looking to feature him this week. And in a game where most of their starters aren't going to play, you know, Travis Kelce, he may play a series or two, or just to get him that 16 yards and get him off the field. Same thing with Rashee Rice. They may not even play him at all. I mean, it's not that big of a deal for him to hit 1,000 yards, but just to keep him healthy, because those two other, but Justin Ross is a guy they've talked about, and he has some rapport with Blaine Gabbert. I mean, he had some connections with him in the preseason. And so, you know, Blaine Gabbert is going to be starting this game for the Chiefs. And so against a Chargers defense that can definitely be had through the air or on the ground. And so he is also somebody you could look at as well. Big body wide receiver, a lot of preseason hype. Then he got in trouble and missed 6 weeks. So he's kind of just working his way back in. But I think you could look there as well if you want another pay down option. But A.J. Brown is my favorite pay up option. Like I think that he can absolutely torch this Giants secondary. And then, like I've already said, with this team, you're talking about a defense here that or a team that is obviously, you know, trying to get everything back on track. And then you're talking about the possibility of no Devonta Smith. I mean, so it makes it really hard. I mean, he could absolutely crush this slate. 40-plus upside is definitely there for A.J. Brown. I like him a lot. I am more worried about Amon-Ra St. Brown because, you know, if you look at this and, you know, I think it's a possibility that, you know, the motivation. Now, I will say, obviously, the Dallas and Philadelphia game is at 3 o'clock, so they're not really going to know that for sure. But at the same time, like, I question, do they really have that much money? Because they need a lot to happen. I mean, you need both Philadelphia and Dallas to lose for Detroit to get the 2 seed. So they're pretty much locked into that 3 seed. I don't know if it makes a lot of sense because, I mean, heaven forbid you get one of these guys hurt in a game that doesn't, you really don't have much of a shot at getting. So I'm a little bit hesitant to play somebody like Amon Ross St. Brown at $8,600 whenever I can just kind of get there with A.J. Brown or CeeDee Lamb, who I know who have much bigger chances of playing the full game and needing this game to be able to win, to be able to secure, you know, whether it's the 2 seed, to try to get that 2 seed. So I'm not as excited about that. Davante Adams had a monster game last week. Now, this is not the same matchup. We saw him finally. He saw 21 targets last week, which is insane. 13 catches, 126 yards, and 2 scores last week, which is actually wild. A friend of mine who has never bet before a day in his life was in Kansas where it's legal to bet, and he was looking at it, and he saw a commercial for it. So I guess it came through for – it was DraftKings. You get like $100.50 free bets. So he's like, yeah, whatever, screw it. So he went in, he threw in $5, and he threw in a bet for it was a Davante Adams to score 2+ touchdowns, and it paid $1,800. He won.
My gosh.
He won $1,800, just threw it in, had no idea what he was doing, just threw it in and won. Won $1,800. So I'm like, that's nice. But anyways, I just thought that was a funny story. Anyways, but Mike Evans at $7,400 against Carolina. Now, Carolina's pass defense has actually been pretty good, but you know this is a spot where this team definitely needs to win. DK Metcalf against Arizona, $7,200. I think you could look there as well. Like I'm going to try to be more condensed with these spots of teams that are much more willing that have something to play for here with these spots. And so I do like DK Metcalf. If you're wanting to pay up there, I think it's going to be pretty easy to kind of pay up a wide receiver if you'd like. And then the Green Bay spot. I still think Jaden Reed was on his way to have a monster game last week before he left, you know, at halftime. But he put up 26.9 DK points in the first half alone with 2 touchdowns, 6 catches for 89 yards. It looked like he was going to have a monster game. And still, we'll take that as well. So if Jacoby Brissett were to play, if Jacoby Brissett ended up being the starter, Terry McLaurin would be the guy that I would look at. $5,500. We know that Jacoby Brissett can unlock Terry McLaurin. Jacoby Brissett, I think, would target Terry McLaurin a lot. I think 10-plus targets would be in the range of possibility. So if you're wanting to play a Cowboy stack, running it back with Terry McLaurin, I think, is what I would look to do here at that spot. Because $5,500, I think, is cheap for somebody with his sort of upside. Now, we haven't really seen his upside this year because Sam Howell has been absolute dog shit. But, yeah, I think you could look there. I think if you are wanting to stack, I talked about Kyler Murray. Obviously, Trey McBride is a stackable option. But now we finally saw Mike Wilson get involved within this offense. He's somebody I've talked a lot about, but he got there last week. 4 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. Saw 6 targets in that game. Hollywood Brown obviously isn't going to play, so he still remains kind of the number one wide receiver. Also, Greg Dortch at $4,600. He saw 7 targets last week as well. 7 catches, 82 yards. I mean, Greg Dortch just continues to produce, feels like, every single year the last couple of seasons. He doesn't have this monster ceiling, but at his price, I think he can give you, you know, 15 DK points, I think, as well within the range of possibilities for him. So if you're wanting to pay there, I think those are the guys you could look at. Darius Slayton, obviously, is another good play. You already mentioned him, but he had a solid game, 4 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown with Tyrod Taylor last week. So he's only 4K. Other than that, you kind of already hit on some of the other really cheap wide receivers. I already talked about the other guys. Zay Jones, I think, would definitely be in play, you know, this week, as long as he's able to return as another option. And then, like I mentioned, I think, you know, taking maybe a shot on somebody like a Justin Ross, who is probably going to play the entire game. And Blaine Gabbert's not a great quarterback, but he's a competent backup quarterback. I mean, he could see, you know, 6, 7, 8 targets here in that game for Justin Ross. Big, like, somebody they would definitely look to utilize in the red zone as well. So I think those would be the wide receivers that I would be looking to play. What about you? Or is there anybody else that you want to hit on, I guess?
No, I think we covered most of it.
So let's go over to tight end. So tight end this week, you know, you have Travis Kelce, who is $6,600. Like I said, he has a 16-yard incentive, or 16 yards to reach 1,000. I definitely think they will try to get him in at least for a drive to get that. But that's probably going to be the end of it. He's not going to play, so we don't even have to worry about him. And Njoku's not going to play. Sam Laporta, who is questionable, $6,200, but he did get in a limited practice today. He's 6,200. You have Trey McBride, who is 6K, who has been a baller. He's kind of cooled off, though, a little bit the last couple of weeks, scoring 9 and 10 DK points. But obviously, the ceiling is definitely still there for Trey McBride. Evan Ingram, George Kittle, who's likely not going to play. Dallas Goedert, who would be much more interesting, especially if Devontae Smith misses. It makes it a little bit more of a consolidated target share. You know, unless you think Julio Jones is going to score two more touchdowns off two targets again, then that, you know, you can look there. But Jake Ferguson's $4,900. Darren Waller's $4,700. Taysom Hill is $4,600. Cole Kmet, Hunter Henry, and Kyle Pitts wrap up the 4K and above range. What are you looking to do at tight end?
Yeah, so there's three main guys I want to play this week. The first two come from the same game, and it keeps going back to that same game that I've mentioned a bunch of times now, is Philly and the Giants, both tight ends on either side there. Goddard really intrigues me, especially if Smitty misses this game. And then Darren Waller on the other side of that. Tyrod, we know historically, has enjoyed throwing the tight ends, and Waller has showed you know, he's able to have success and still has somewhat of a ceiling. This year, he has a game of 23 DK points and a game of 17 and just had 10 last week. So definitely not awful for a slate where there's very limited tight end options. And then Goddard, we know, can smash and could end up being the number two receiving option if Smitty were to miss. So I like both tight ends there. And then a little bit cheaper at 3,700. I like Tucker Kraft a lot. He's got four straight games of over 10 DK points, which coincides with Musgrave being out for the year. So Tucker Kraft in a good spot there at home against Chicago. And yes, Jordan Love's been running hot with touchdowns, but if he continues to run hot, Tucker Kraft should continue to catch them as well. So I do like him at 3,700 in a must-win game for Green Bay.
Yeah, the only thing that would worry me with Kraft would mainly because it looks like they're going to have, like, all the pass catchers back. So, like, does it limit his target upside? But, yeah, $3,700. Chicago's a good matchup against tight end. So, it's hard not to love him as well. You know, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think a lot of the guys you talk about, but mainly for me, it's going to be I'm probably going to be running the tight end in my stacks or whatever I'm using. Whether it's Kyler Murray and going with Trey McBride at 6K,
yep.
You know, I think it just makes it pretty easy. I probably wouldn't do that though with, you know, if I played Nick Mullins, because I really don't know who.
And I do like Kmet too. If you're playing Fields, if Kmet plays, I know he's not been practicing with a knee issue, but he played last week. He just played a season low snaps of 12. So it does kind of worry me the fact that he played last week but only played like 12 snaps.
Kmet did get in a limited practice today, so that's a positive.
Okay. Because, I mean, we know that if Fields throws four touchdowns, that Kmet can easily catch two of them. So he would be another guy if you're talking about stacking.
Yeah, I also think Juwan Johnson, he got in a limited practice today. But, I mean, he has seen almost 20 targets the last two games. Saw 12 targets last week, 8 catches, 90 yards and a score. He has scored a touchdown in 3 straight games as well. He's only $3,600. So he is, I think, just too cheap for what he's been producing lately. So Juwan Johnson at $3,600. I think you can look there as well. You know, again, a matchup that you definitely need to the Saints need to win if they want to make it in the playoffs. Also, you know, we know that you look to target Atlanta, you know, through the slot, basically in the middle of the field is where they're vulnerable. So Juwan Johnson, I think at $3,600, I think you can look there. And like I said, you know, the Trey McBride, love him. I mean, I know he's kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks, but the targets have not. I mean, if you just go back and look since week 10, it's 9, 7, 9, 9, 11, 8, and 7 targets. I mean, he still sees an incredible amount of targets. He just hasn't found the end zone in a couple of weeks, but he's still a very primary focus for this Cardinals team. So if you're wanting the highest total game on the slate, the Seattle-Arizona game is at 47.5. I want pieces to that game. It's an indoor game. We don't have to worry about any weather. There's not really any major weather concerns this week. There's a couple of games that look kind of gross, but for the most part, it's nothing concerning that you should worry about, like, fading a game for, at least right now. So that Trey McBride game, I think, at 6K, I definitely am going to have some interest there in playing him. But other than that, there's no other, like, you know, tight ends I think you have to or must plays. Like, if you want to play, like, a Noah Gray, I guess you could look there for the Chiefs because he's probably going to be their starting tight end who's going to play all the snaps. Because we're not going to see likely very much, if any, of Travis Kelce. It's possible he doesn't even play. I know they're probably going to do whatever they can to get him that bonus or that 1,000-yard mark. I think it would be 8 straight years, I think, that he would have done it. So, you know, to keep that streak alive. But it's 16 yards. I mean, he could get that on the first drive and pull his ass out of the game. But Noah Gray is $2,500. Noah Gray is actually a pretty decent tight end. He obviously just doesn't get a much run because of Travis Kelce. So, you know, I think you could look to see him get maybe 5 or 6 targets in that game. So Noah Gray, I think at $2,500 is another really cheap pay down option at tight end. If you want to go there, I think you could look at him as well. So other than that, you know, in terms of, you know, the tight end position, like I said, I'm pretty much going to be playing a lot of the guys, whatever I play within a stack. That's what I'll be looking at. If not, some one-offs like a Juwan Johnson, Trey McBride, maybe a Noah Gray, but I don't know if you need to really get there for him. But other than that, let's move over to the tight end position the defense position is what I was trying to say. And what pay down defense are we going to play this week?
I mean, I don't hate the Giants if you're not playing any Eagles, $2,300. The Rams at $2,600 against San Francisco backups. The Chargers at $2,800 at home against the backups for Kansas City. And then the Raiders, $3,300 there at home as well against Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, I actually think the Raiders is actually a pretty good call. I know they're a little bit more expensive than we typically.
But we should have value this week to where we can afford them when we normally don't.
Right, yeah. So you don't really need the savings. So I definitely think, the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders defense has looked really good. I know last week they lost to the Colts. But for the most part, this Raiders defense has played really, really well recently. So obviously, you know, those 2 games where they had multiple defensive touchdowns obviously helped that. But last week just wasn't great, as good. Not that they were terrible. They allowed 23 points, 215 passing yards, 134 rushing yards. But for the most part, the Raiders have been a pretty solid defense. Obviously, Max Crosby getting after the quarterback. They're able to get pressure on the quarterback. So and you're talking about Jarrett Stidham. So, yes, I think the Raiders are definitely in play. As far as the really cheap options, I still think you can play the Cardinals if you want to do that at $2,400 at home. And then, you know, like you said, the Rams, I think, are always in play, even though, you know, you're probably not going to have, like, Aaron Donald or anybody like that playing. But you're also going to be playing against backups in San Francisco as well. So you don't really have to worry as much about that. So, and then, I think other than that, those are kind of the defenses I think you can look at this week. It's kind of, like you said, with so many different pieces, you really need to wait and see kind of what some of these teams are going to look like, you know, in terms of who you can target. Because I think that's obviously going to be critical here. So that being said, let's go ahead and try to build a lineup here. You want to do that?
Let's try.
All right. Go ahead and start it off.
CeeDee Lamb.
All right. AJ Brown.
For playing Brown, let's go Hurts. This is going to get weird.
Yeah, because we already have $3,900 left remaining per position. We need 2 running backs, wide receiver, tight end, a flex, and a defense.
This is going to get weird.
I'm just going to go ahead and plug in the Rams as a placeholder for defense.
All right. Which tight end from that game do you prefer? Waller or Goddard?
Let's go Waller.
Okay. Let's go. Let's assume we're going to get Cleveland running back value. Let's go Pierre Strong against Cincy.
All right. So there's $4,200 remaining at running back, wide receiver, and a flex. Let's just go ahead. I'm just going to go ahead and let's go. Oh, wait. Jordan Mason isn't 4K. He's $4,600. He's more expensive. Let's go ahead and plug in Jordan Mason, though. He's $4,600. It still leaves 4K remaining for a wide receiver and a flex.
Let's go with Tutu Atwell. I think Wentz is going to air it out a little bit.
Try to get a job next year.
And Tutu has shown that he can do it. So it leaves you $4,700, which is kind of no man's land. What we could do, let's go Tyrod instead of Hurts. And then it leaves you $7,500. And now you can play like DJ Moore and upgrade the Rams defense.
I was thinking about not playing Tutu and seeing like playing like James Conner in the flex, because I like Conner a lot. But it still kind of puts you in the same spot. It leaves $4,700 at wide receiver, which I was going to say maybe like Jackson Smith and Jigba, but He's $4,800. Can't do that. So,
yeah, it'd be sick if you could get to like McLaurin, but can't make it work.
Oh, I know what we could do. McLaurin, you say?
Yeah.
All right. So, this is what we can do. So, we could plug in Michael Wilson, who I like, at $4,400. And then you could fit in Terry McLaurin at $5,500. And then you could upgrade Rams to Raiders defense. Leave $200 on the table, which would leave Tyrod Taylor, Pierre Strong, Jordan Mason, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Michael Wilson, Darren Waller, Terry McLaurin, and Raiders defense.
There you go.
With $200 remaining on the table.
There you go. That's not bad at all.
Gotta love week 18, man. Playing Pierre Strong and Jordan Mason.
And we're saying that that team is not bad at all. Oh God. Yeah, definitely play light this week.
Yeah, it's been a wild year, to say the least, anyway. So I mean, the amount of quarterback injuries we've had this year, it's been absolutely wild this year.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are. I mean, the amount of different quarterbacks we're talking about this week is insane.
But it's been a fun year, regardless.
Yeah, I am looking forward to the NFL playoffs. I always tend to do pretty well in the NFL playoffs. So, and we still do have two showdown slates as well for this weekend, because the Texans Colts game Saturday night, I'm definitely gonna have action on that showdown slate.
Well, it's a two gamer.
Yeah, also. The Ravens, which I mean, you could make it. I mean, the Ravens and Steelers. The Ravens obviously are going to be sitting a lot of players for that, but you are going to get Tyler Huntley, who we know can be fantasy viable. Yep. He has definitely gotten there before, but I don't think you'll see probably.
I'd play CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud is going to nuke Indy.
Yeah, with Nico in that game. So yeah, you can play the two game slate. I mean, obviously, I think with Mason Rudolph, the Steelers' offense has actually looked a lot better. The Steelers still have something to play for as well. They can still get into the playoffs. I think they need the Bills to lose on Sunday night, but then you have that Sunday night game. That showdown slate looks like a lot of fun. I have to see who's all going to play. I don't know about Tyreek Hill. I assume Tyreek's going to play. I mean, they can go drop all the way down, I believe, to the five or the six seed if they lose. So the Dolphins, you know, this should be a fun one. This game's in Miami as well on Sunday Night Football. So I wish that game was on the main slate, but obviously the NFL did it right by putting that on an island game. Because the Bills could actually get knocked out of the playoffs if they lose. And I think the Steelers win. I think the Steelers would get in and the Bills would get knocked out, which is wild that could happen. So those two games are definitely going to have interest to me in terms of showdown slates. I've really enjoyed the showdown slate. I've come really close multiple times this year taking down a showdown slate, but you have to have that perfect, perfect build. There's been multiple times I've lost by like 1 point was the difference between like finishing 300th versus finishing first. So
that's how it goes.
Yeah. Showdown slate's a lot of fun. I recommend with showdown trying to find some single entry stuff. You don't have to worry about as much, getting duped, but it's still going to happen no matter for the most part in those slates. But, yeah, the NFL playoffs. And we could actually have some really good matchups next week. I mean, we're looking at, you could probably see the Lions, depending on where they finish. But if they finish the three seed, they're probably going to be playing the Rams, at home.
Stafford.
That's the narrative of that. You're going to get Puka and Cooper.
Flacco is going to play Baltimore in Baltimore. And not the first week because Baltimore's going to have a bye, but Cleveland's gonna win their first matchup, then they're gonna end up in Baltimore.
We could possibly get Chiefs Bills, depending on how that plays out. That's a possibility of a game that we could get. Just depends on how everything shakes out. We could also get Chiefs Dolphins at Arrowhead if Dolphins lose, which would be Tyreek Hill. Obviously, the Chiefs and Dolphins played earlier in the year, but that
it's crazy. It's also crazy that Buffalo is like the third best Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl, and if they lose their game Sunday night, they're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but if they win, they're the two seed. Like that is insane.
Well, I think they said there's 20 of the 32 teams are still alive for the playoffs.
It's crazy. It's the most parity we've had in the league in a while.
Yeah.
There's no dominant team.
No, I know. I mean, I know there's been flavors of the week there for a while. It was the Bills, and then it went to
San Fran for a bit.
Yeah.
And Baltimore for a bit. Yeah.
You know, as the team that everybody's worried about. So there's a lot to. I really hope the Texans make it into the playoffs. I think that could be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Because I believe that would be Because the Texans could actually still win the division if the Jaguars were to lose, but then they could also still just make it in straight up because whoever wins that game is in the playoffs. The Colts and Texans get in the playoffs. So even if they're the 7th seed, you could be seeing Texans and the Bills or Dolphins possible there. That could be a lot of fun. So there's a lot of really good matchups, I think, for the next weekend that I'm looking forward to. And we'll be able to attack a lot easier. Maybe see if we can get Debro or somebody on here and we can talk for 4 hours over the couple games.
Oh, God.
On the slate. But anyways, that being said, I appreciate everybody rocking with us all year. Obviously, we're not going anywhere. We'll do this all the way through the Super Bowl. Do it every year. And but I appreciate everybody rocking with us through the DFS, the main slates. This is the last, I guess, main slate. Last week was actually the last main slate of the year, the big main slate of the year anyway, because this weekend is just a preseason clusterfuck, really, is all it is. Really following the news is super important. It's the best way you can get some edge, try to see if you can find anything. Very much like that's what you do in the playoffs, right? Or the preseason. It's trying to find as much edge as you can, who's going to play, how much these guys are going to play and stuff like that. And so I think that's the way you look at it this week. But overall, it's been a fun year. It's been a little bit of a wild year. It's been a very chalky year. It's kind of what we talked about for most weeks. Like before, it was very much like contrarian, hey, let's fade the chalk. This year, it's been all about playing the chalk and just embracing the chalk and trying to get different, in different spots. So other than that, appreciate everybody rocking with us. Like I said, we'll be back next week for the NFL playoffs. I'm really looking forward to it, and it should be a lot of fun. This weekend still should be a lot of fun, kind of seeing how all of this plays out. There should be a lot of drama here between Saturday and Sunday. So keep it locked in here. If you haven't already, you can jump into our Discord. It's absolutely free as well. We have a DFS channel in there. So hope everybody has a good weekend. Let's try to win some money. Don't go crazy and spend all your bankroll on a weekend that's going to be absolutely wild. So that being said, I hope everybody has a good weekend. We'll see you next Thursday for the NFL playoffs. Bye. Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? When you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got, it measures in ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.